like Herbert was prophesying. Tirsa said yes. We're all saying yes to him. So what are we saying yes to? And so Jesus was trying to prepare his disciples for him leaving. Now, in John 14, he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." In the Amplified, it says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, and agitated. But you believe and you adhere and you trust and you rely on God. Believe, adhere, and trust and rely also on me." But then he says this. Imagine what the people, what his disciples, his present disciples is at that time, what they're feeling like. They don't even know what he's talking about. He's saying, "Don't let your heart be troubled." So what they know already is that they're going to have an opportunity for their heart to be troubled. Because why is he saying that if that's not God? But they have no idea how troubled their hearts are going to be. Because the one who called them, and the one who chose them, and the one who led them with 3.5 years and poured everything into them, is going to die on a cross in front of them. And they're going to see that he's put inside of a tomb.
Something that we can only understand.
again, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So we think this is the rapture. We're getting out of here. I'm not taking your rapture away. I'm just saying he's not really talking about that, right? He's saying, I'm going to go. I'm going to ascend to the Father. I'm going to make a place for you to dwell in. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk to you. And then after I talk to you and you begin to understand I'm really not dead, I'm still alive, that I get to live inside of you, that you get to be born again, because Jesus, they weren't born again until Jesus paid the price. And that now, when they receive salvation, they receive Jesus as their Savior, not just the one who was training them, but they received him as the risen Savior who took their sins on his back so that they could be free from all of the tactics of the enemy, and so they could sit in heavenly places beside the Father at the right hand. We talk about this, that we're sitting in heavenly places at the right hand. We don't understand that we have a dual citizenship. How can we be in this world and in heavenly places at the same time? Isn't that impossible? In the natural, it's impossible. But Jesus made a way for us so that we Father. He didn't do, he didn't say, he didn't go anywhere that he didn't get permission from his Father. His Father was orchestrating it, because you can't separate the Father from the Son. And you cannot separate them from the Spirit. And after salvation, you cannot separate you from them either. And so, if you had known me, if you had known my Father, from now on you will know him, and you have seen him. You've seen him. You might have to breathe a little to take all this in, because it's so real, but it's so unusual for us to think this way. We have to change our thinking if we're going to operate in everything God has for us to operate in. And this is a new season, and you are not going to be able to operate in the full experience of God if you don't see the truth in his word and it doesn't become a part of your life. Now, Jesus is telling his disciples and us that he made a way for us in the heavenly realm to have heavenly experiences and heavenly, because we have heavenly rights as sons and daughters. So when someone draws up a will in the natural and they leave you a dwelling place here on earth, that the dwelling place they lived in is transferred to you, okay, then you have legal right. You have every legal right to enter that place, to enjoy everything that is in it, and to make it a part of your everyday life, right? So we have dwelling rights. We have dwelling rights. We have dual citizenship. We have heaven and earth. We have what he gives us on the earth, and we also have what he has made available to us in heaven. And so Philip is still, he's not getting it. So he says, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Philip is like, okay, I don't get it. And Philip is so cute because you know, that's what you say about people when you don't think, oh, they're so cute. But Jesus is going to take time to help him understand. And Jesus said, have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? Because he who has seen me has seen the Father. And how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Now listen to this. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does the work. Now, all of those miracles that Jesus did, laying hands on the sick and they recovered, the deaf heard, the blind saw, people that were dead came to life. Jesus is saying, I didn't do any of that on my own initiative. I was never alone doing this. This was not what happened. It's my Father abiding in me that did it all. My Father abiding in me did the works. That shifts everything because we think Jesus is down here romping around on his own. And he's listening to the Father, but we don't realize they are so connected, they never disconnected. And so he said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, he said, believe me for the works themselves. So the signs and the wonders and the miracles that occurred, he's saying, don't just believe in me, believe that me and the Father did that. Me accompanying the Father accompanying me. And so he said, the next thing he says is for sure, truly, truly, he says. Let me see what it says in the Amplified. He says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he himself will be able to do the things that I do. And he will go do even greater things than these because I go to the Father. What? We talk about, oh, we're going to do greater works. We can't figure out what those greater works are. We don't know what the greater works are. We just know that he said they were greater. But I know how they're greater. Because Jesus came as a man, and though he came as a man, he never sinned. He never sinned. He took our sins upon him on the cross, but he himself never sinned. How many of you never sinned? So for Jesus to do all of those works, we just kind of expect Jesus to do all of those works because he's the Son of God, even though he's the Son of Man. But the truth is, it's greater for us to be able to do these works because we did sin. And we have a Savior that redeemed us from our sin. And that is greater. Do you get that? Thank you. I hear you, Susie. I don't see you, but I hear you. So, Jesus always maintained the relationship with the Father. And so, we need to maintain a relationship with the Father and the Son. But Jesus knew that the greater works were going to come because he was going to send the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And he said, I will ask the Father, verse 16, and he will give you another comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, that he will remain with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or take to heart, because it does not see him or know him or recognize him. But you'll know him and you'll recognize him. For he lives with you constantly, and he will be in you. They were aware of the Spirit. Sometimes Jesus laid hands on them and empowered them by the Spirit. They did things that were Spirit-led, but they didn't have the Spirit of God living fully on the inside of them until Jesus left and sent him, and then they were endued with power from on high. Amen? He said, I'm not leaving you as orphans, desolate and forlorn and helpless. I'll be just a little while. I'll be just a little while, and the world won't see me, but you will see me because I'll be alive. Alive in us. Okay. So, in actuality, what occurred spirit to spirit is that Jesus died, Jesus rose again, Jesus prepared a place for us, Jesus sent the third person of the Trinity to give us revelation and resurrection power. To give us revelation and resurrection power. The same power that Jesus operated in became available to all of us, all of his disciples. And then he goes on and he says this. Now, this is for you. This is for us. This is for the body of Christ. This is what we have access to. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. What? Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Why? So that the Father will be glorified in the Son. And he says it again. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we can't do it on our own. We can't do it individually. Jesus couldn't even do it individually. Them. He knew that by his death and resurrection and the power of the Holy Ghost, we are going to be able to operate in that same functionality. And so the Father abiding inside of us is the one that's going to do the works. And what is he doing the works for? So we can preach the gospel, cast out demons, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, not meaning that we're snake handlers, but that we're Satan handlers. If we drink anything deadly, it's not going to harm us, and we will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So did Jesus make a way for us to operate like that? Okay, the Bible said so, right? And then he says this, in verse 15, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. His commandments were to do these works. If you love me, you're going to do this. If you love me, you're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. If you love me, do you love him? He's trying to get us to understand that love is the connection, and that if we are sold out to him, we said, Lord, give us the fire. We said, yes, 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 we'll do anything. We'll go anywhere. We'll be whatever you want us to be. And he's saying, okay, I want you to be powerful. I want you to be full of my glory. I want you to know that you can be on earth and spend time with me in the abode I made for you, sitting at the right hand of the Father. I have a dwelling place for you to come to. When you go to the dwelling place in prayer, when you are just hidden in the secret place with me, when I'm infusing you with all I am, when I give you my love and compassion for other people the way you've never had it before, when there is a fire that is burning on the inside of you, you are going to burn so that other people will see you have something they don't see, they don't know about, but you are going to be so different that they're going to be drawn to you, and you are going to obey my commandments by preaching the gospel, laying hands on the sick, seeing them recover, casting out demons. There is not a separation. We are Christians if we love him, if we know him, if he lives in our heart. There is no separation between heaven and everything that is in heaven. We have access to, and we can also do what Jesus did, and even greater, because we were once in the kingdom of darkness, and now we've been translated into the kingdom of light. So we operate from light. We operate from his kingdom. Jesus made a way. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if you believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Did he say that? Okay. So believe there means to entrust oneself, spiritual being, to Christ, to put your trust in him totally. So why is there a lack of kingdom demonstration on the earth? Why aren't we seeing these things? People are almost like accusatory of other people. Like, why aren't we seeing the signs and the wonders and miracles? What's up? What's wrong? Because we're not entrusting our spiritual well-being to Christ. We haven't fully separated from the world's ways. Our spiritual being can be, should be, and will be spiritually entrusting everything we have to him. And when we do that, there is nothing impossible to us. Jesus operated from the relationship that cooperated with heaven's will, his Father's will. So he operated out of oneness with his Father. Why do we think it's different now? Why should there be any difference now? There isn't any difference now. It's just that we're not diving into the deep with him on a daily basis. We never have to leave him. The dwelling places he made, they're available on earth and they're available in heaven. I don't know if I'm... When you have an experience with the Lord, and how many of you would say that you are saved and Jesus lives inside of you? Okay. Well, then you've had an experience with him. Now, if you try to explain that to someone in the natural, does it make any sense at all? How do you say that you were once a sinner and now you're not? How do you explain that? How do you explain that saying, you know, a prayer to invite Jesus into your heart to redeem you and cleanse you from your sin, and now he has become your Lord and Savior? Does that make sense to anyone without the Spirit of God making it real? Right? It took the additive of heaven to make that a reality to you, and then you believed the words because they were more than words. There was an impartation. There was something that was happening from heaven to earth. There was a reality that God was there for you. There was a reality that there was a great price paid for you so that you could be one with Jesus. And when you ask him into your heart, he came into your heart and into your life, and he became your Lord, and he became your Savior in that moment. And in that moment, those abodes that he made for you in heaven were made available to you, and you are sitting at the right hand of the Father, but you're not operating in what you have access there, because we haven't seen or heard or believed the truth that we have a natural spiritual occurrence that lives on the inside of us, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, we can do the things that Jesus did, and it should be everyday occurrences. And it's going to be. You know why? Because we're changing our mind. We're opening up our mind. We're opening up our hearts. We're opening up our spirit. There is a hunger and thirst that God is bringing to us. There is some dynamic of heaven. God is putting it. It's what Herbert said. You can't sit on the sidelines. You're going to be in it. You're going to be in it to win it. God has already given us the victory. There is something amazing that is going on in this time frame of history, and we are not missing out. We are a part of what he's doing and a part of what he is saying. We are a living, breathing example of what Jesus can do, because we're going to be in his presence, receiving from him, in the dwelling places of him, what we need to bring back so we can operate fully in what he said. Remember when I was away, I told you that there was a time where I was on the floor, and it was just me and God, and you know, you can't explain that either. How do you explain salvation? How do you explain you're having an experience with God? I can't explain it, except for I can tell you that when you're in it, you know that it's not natural. It's supernatural. It's spiritual. It is everything that God wanted for me to have in that moment. And he said a few things that I remember. But mostly in those times of being with him, there's impartation, and you don't even know everything that you got until later, and they show up. Maybe the fire today was in that time on the floor with him. I don't know. But as we go deeper with him, we receive the glory that we need to operate in here on earth as it is in heaven. And so in that time, I am just receiving from the Lord. You have opportunity. Janice was receiving from the Lord. People were receiving from the Lord today. It's equal access. He made a place for us to dwell with him. And it's the dwelling places of the Spirit where we know him. We know him so well. We get to see him at a different place. We get to have an experience with him. And he leaves deposits on the inside of us that suddenly we think differently. We're not afraid to lay hands on the sick in case they don't get healed. Because even if they don't get healed, we did what God asked us to do. He leads us. He guides us. We're obeying him, and obedience will bring the blessing. And fear can no longer reign in our mortal bodies when we put our full entrust of our spiritual being to him. And so that's why Jesus told us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, your name is holy." It's hallowed. It's to be revered. I am looking at you, Father. I understand who you are. I get to understand who you are. Jesus told them to pray this prayer before they could understand who he was. But after he left and he united them with Godhead, and they were reunited with the Father because he took all of their sins, suddenly they understood, "Our Father, you are holy. Your name is amazing. I honor you. And I am praying for your kingdom to come. I'm praying for it to come on earth as it is in heaven." Because now I know there's no distance. Heaven and earth, there's no distance. The distance is in our mind. We are spirit beings. We bodily don't go to heaven till we die. And then we get a new body. Thank God. Okay. It looks much better than it does right now. We have emotions. But we are spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit is fluid with God. Does that make sense? Okay. So, we are called to operate in the kingdom of God according to the Father's will. So it's time for this risen church, to operate from a different perspective because we've been with him. And so it's time to act like it. There's no real distance. And so, okay, well, you know, Pastor Dawn, that's really out there. Okay, well, I'll give you more scriptures. 2 Corinthians 3:8. Shouldn't we expect a far greater glory under the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving us life? Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we expect a far greater glory under the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? Shouldn't we? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, then how much more glorious is the new way that makes us right with God? How much greater? How much more glorious? We're not thinking high enough. We're not thinking big enough. We're not understanding who we are to God. We don't understand how big his family is and how important it is because we are the answer for the world. The world needs answers, and guess what? He lives in us. He resides in us. The Holy Spirit is letting us be the change. So if the old way, verse 11, has been replaced and was glorious. It was glorious in the Old Testament. I mean, they had great things happen in the Old Testament. But if the old way was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which shall remain forever? Oh. Jesus is never leaving us again. We are one with him. He doesn't dump us. He loves us forever. 2 Corinthians 3:12, since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. Very bold. Because we know who we are. And we know what we're capable of. And we know that we're not doing it on our own. We know what God is capable of. We know what God is capable of, and we know he lives inside of us. So we are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel could not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away, because we see face to face. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom for what? Freedom to do all these things. Freedom to operate in the kingdom of God. Freedom to be who God has called us to be. Freedom to know that there is no power that Satan has that can't be broken by what we respond to with heaven's help. Free to cast out devils, whatever kind of devils they look like. People are afraid of demonic activity because they're so afraid they're so big and ugly and mean. They got nothing on us. We have oneness with the Godhead, and we have been empowered from on high, because, and we have access to heaven, and we can bring it to earth. And they have to obey us if we believe. Amen? And then it says in verse 2 Corinthians 3:18, so all of us who have had that veil removed, when you got saved, you had that veil removed. can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. Who is the Spirit making us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image? As we are changed into His glorious image. And so the glory of the Lord, we have no veil now between us and heaven. We understand, we see the glory of the Lord. We experience the glory of the Lord. We get filled with the glory of the Lord. And then we are changed to do glorious things. And so His presence is available. We have the ability to hear Him. We have to realize that His will has come alive, and we are going to dwell in the living places that He has made available to us. That's what we're going to do. And as we dwell, that means that when the worship and the call to come to Him and the yes to Him and the fire and come and be the wood that is able to burn and be a big fire for everyone to see. These are all parts of what we have to understand, is that these are not just silly things that people are coming up with in the moment. This is God making a clarion call to His church to come alive and be on fire and receive what He has for us, so that we can operate from heaven's perspective and bring it to earth and bring the reality of who He really is in our everyday life. Someone say amen. And I'm going to close with this. I know you're freaked out. It's 11:49. For we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, oh my God, the glory of the Lord. We're not translated to be physically in heaven yet. Oh, but we are one with Him, and we are looking. We clearly can see that we are being changed from His image, from glory to glory. The glory that's in us, the glory that's in Him, the glory that's in us, the glory that's in Him, the glory that's in us, the glory that is in Him. By the Spirit of the Lord, we are being changed. We don't have to stay the same. We are not staying the same. We are moving forward, and we are going to take everything that God has for us to have and to do and to be able to show forth His glory on this earth, so that they know there is a God in heaven that loves them, so that they know that Jesus died for them, so that they know He has all the power that they need to be free, so that they know He is alive for them and that they can be alive in Him. Today I was on my way here, and there was a girl at University Drive, and, you know, she was asking for money. And I rolled down my window, and I gave her money, and I said, you know, you can be free of those drugs. I said, I know you probably heard this before, Jesus loves you. But I'm just going to tell you something. Jesus loves you enough to set you free from those drugs. And I said, there's a place for you. There's a place for you to get free. I can hook you up with that place. And then everybody started honking at me. And so I said, I'm going to see you again. And there's a place called The Mission. Call them. The Mission. Call them. And I said, you are going to get free. And she started crying. And then I was in the middle. I couldn't get away from these crazy Southern Florida drivers. And they're all honking. And so I called Tirsa, and I go, in case that girl is still there, when you pull up, grab her, throw her in the car, and bring her to church. Because we are the answer. She wasn't there. She'd be there, right there. But I believe she's coming, and I believe those were seeds sown, and I believe it's true, and I believe she's coming out of that lifestyle, and I believe she's not the only one, and I believe God has set us here for such a time as this, and every one of you are going to burn with the fire of God, and this is going to be a transformed place, because we are not going to be satisfied without the fullness of the glory that He has given to us, and we are being changed from glory to glory even right now as you sit in this house.
And we are going out there different in Jesus' name. So we are gonna take part of heaven's glory. We're gonna be in dwelling places with him. We are gonna get so filled up with him that it is just natural for us to operate in everything that he said. And if you love him, you will keep these commandments. Amen. Who's doing announcements? I'm done. I threw it down. Did you take it up? Yeah. Teresa goes, are you taking what I'm throwing down? Are you taking what I'm throwing down? All right. Oh, pick it up. How do you do it? Are you picking up what I'm throwing down? Hallelujah. All right. Get excited because you're changed in Jesus' name. Amen.